Hi, this is Brian Grasso with the International Youth Conditioning Association, IYCA.org, www.iyca.org. Another installment of our free resource center, free avenue for all trainers, parents, coaches, athletes, and anybody else in the world who wants to access some very important, very critical information for free, never a charge. We're happy to provide this service to people just so they can gain an understanding of the IYCA philosophy on youth development, athletic development, youth fitness, and such. Today, my very, very special guest is Mr. Tony Reynolds, who is a board of directors member with the IYCA. Personally, one of my favorite people in the entire world. I'm happy to say that on a conference call that is sure to be downloaded by thousands of people. You awesome. Are, Tony, one of my favorite people in the world. And critically, though, highlight that, the best strength coach I know in terms of strength development. And if you've ever met Tony, like me, you're a little intimidated by his size because he's a big boy. But, you know, you have this conception of a big powerlifter, a big strong guy who's, you know, looks like the broad side of a barn. But when you hear Tony talk, his understanding conceptually and practically of training athletes for strength development, and not exclusively that, certainly it's an all-encompassing thing he has, but my admiration for Tony has always been the strength level. You're going to hear some just amazing things come out of his mouth. So without further ado, Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us here for a few minutes.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure, Brian. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, let's dive into strength. It's probably one of the biggest queries that a lot of trainers have. I mean, in my career, I've seen the industry move towards more of a movement speed base thing, where a lot of people are really inquiring now on movement parameters and speed acceleration, deceleration habits, and you know the importance of that, which is good because that's critical. But historically, how to get stronger has always been the preeminent thing as to why the freshmen walk into weight rooms in high school with the dreams of playing varsity football, et cetera. How do I get as big as strong as I can? And, of course, the IYCA wants to qualify that with a lot of conditions. So let me start with this. The industry is moving to a very, I suppose they're becoming very interested in the whole quantity of speed and movement mechanics. And I've long maintained, and I believe you fall in line with this as well, and I always encourage my guests, if you don't, let me know. It's great. I have no problem with people listening, hearing both ends. Speed and movement has just so much to do with systemic strength. And we start quantifying like linear speed technique, and I always say, no, we're talking about kids here. Get them stronger. Get them stronger first. Why don't we start by just having you comment on that?
Well, you know, it's all in the art of coaching. You know, we work with kids out here on a daily basis, and I see a lot of kids that just, you know, they've got adequate strength, but they don't know how to use what they have. I see more kids that, you know, they can learn the movement mechanics, and they can learn a lot. They just don't have enough general strength to accelerate and decelerate. You know, and when you can't control deceleration, how do you cut efficiently? You know, how do you land correctly from a jump? You know, how do you do all these certain things that, if you look at non-contact injuries, tend to be where they occur? So, you know, keeping these kids out there and just running them and doing more sprint mechanics, more cutting dynamics and all this stuff is great, but they're never going to get better until they develop enough strength to support their body and their and momentum and all these other things. So I agree wholeheartedly. You know, I think people need to assess everything they see their athletes do and use that assessment accordingly and design programs and move the athlete where they need to move them from those assessments.
You know, and there's a couple of things you said that I want to catch on and migrate towards. But one thing you just mentioned is the word assessment. And this has been a primary topic that's showed itself on almost every call we've done with folks in the IYCA that's available in the Free Resource Center, is that the whole consideration of assessment. So, you know, and I definitely have my opinions, and I don't want to lead you on anything. So I just want to sort of hear your take on it. My take, Tony, has always been that every rep of a workout is an assessment, and that's the critical art of coaching as far as I'm concerned. We can really get bogged down in trying to pre-assess everyone from structure, mechanics, you know, adhesions and joint specifics, and it's not like I'm in disfavor of that, but I think there's a more global picture, in my opinion. And just after I said I wasn't going to lead you with my opinion, I just did. But having said that, you know, where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I'm a lot in the same boat. I think people get way too hung up on testing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, I don't care how fast you run a 40-yard dash because that tells me nothing about your abilities.
Right.
You know, it tells me how fast you can cover 40 yards. It doesn't tell me how efficient. It doesn't tell me, you know, how well you accelerated, how well you decelerated at the ends. You know, it doesn't tell me how your arm mechanics were when you were running. It tells me zero. It gives me a number. And I think people get so hung up that all they do is they want to put a number on things, but they never really look and see what actually design and builds that number. And that's where the assessment comes in. And the things that I see are kids are different every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll see a kid 5 days a week, and he's never the same person when he walks in that door. So
right.
Any assessments or testing that I may have done with this kid last week, they're no longer valid.
You know,
this kid's, who knows what's happened to him since then. You know, we see a lot of these kids that are 12, 13 years old, their body changes so much in a month that their whole biomechanics change. So we have to use every opportunity we have to assess these kids.
Right.
And assessment's all about watching how they move. When better is that than in the weight room or out on the floor?
Yeah.
You know, and I think the moment you quit assessing is the moment the kid's going to quit getting better because you're no longer fine-tuning and fixing things. You're just letting a kid run through drills.
Yeah.
And unless that kid needs nothing more than conditioning, what's the point in that?
Sure. Yeah, and one of the things I think is remarkable about your answer, your statement there, is that I hope people listening have, you know, download all the free resource stuff on the IYCA website because you're going to find a great deal of synergy between what Tony's saying, what I say, what Kwame Brown says, what Evan Osar says, what Lee Taft says. And the remarkable thing about it is that we represent a board of directors for one single association and we collectively wrote a textbook, there's a lot of independent research, independency in general that went into our collaborative effort. Like I certainly didn't, you know, make Tony qualify his research to me before he, you know, finished writing his flexibility chapter. But you still see a great deal of synergy. And one of the things that keeps being picked up, and of course I write about this endlessly in my newsletter, is the art of coaching, and that there's so much that goes into the daily life of a child. And I specify child because adults are at least done growing. Kids haven't yet. So there's growth parameters, there's sleep deprivation. But I mean, even like visceral tension and some kind of somatic overload, so an emotional response to a situation that, as the trainer, you're not really looking for, could change the mechanics or the structure of the body immeasurably. And so the assessment you did 3 years ago, it doesn't even apply anymore. And I've been telling that for as long as I can remember. It's just so neat to hear Tony Reynolds say that, because we've never even talked about it, T. I mean, that's just something I heard you say for the first time, but I couldn't agree more.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, having said that, I don't want to put you on the spot too hard here because, in the case it's not sort of part of your daily vernacular, but you had mentioned about non-contact injuries a few minutes ago, and I said I wanted to come back to that or a couple of things you had said, and this being one of them. You know, let's talk ACLs. I mean, ACLs is a big catchphrase right now. ACL prevention, how to prevent it. So, you know, using that, okay, where do you, and research notwithstanding, I don't even care what the research says. Tony Reynolds, do you have a feeling on ACL prevention in terms of why is ACL injury just the biggest epidemic in the world right now for youth sports?
Well, you know, I think the big thing is sports are becoming so much more aggressive for younger and younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was younger, you know, what we had available to us was nothing like what these kids have now.
Sure.
And these kids' bodies are starting to undergo stresses and things like that at a much younger age that, you know, guys like you and I who, you know, were 30, 31, 32, whatever, we didn't go through that kind of stress.
Sure.
And, you know, the body adapts. That's what the human body does. It encounters a stress, it adapts to that stress, and it feeds into that and builds from that. And I think what we're starting to see is we're seeing kids that are getting this really gross developmental problems because these sports are so aggressive to their bodies at such a young age, and they're developing really weird imbalances They're getting in strength and conditioning programs of people who don't know what they're doing and that are causing these kids to get strong in the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
And the body's, you know, it's simple joint structure and biomechanics. You know, if you're not loading through your joint correctly, you're going to start to experience issues. And, you know, I'm seeing so many kids that are coming in here now that their joint structures are not aligned the way they need to be. They don't load through their hips. They don't load through their knees. They don't load through their shoulders efficiently because of strength training programs and other things in their environment. And to me, that's the problem. You know, and unfortunately, by the time I see a kid that's 13 years old, he's already had 7 or 8 years of this going on. I get to see him for 2 or 3 hours a week, and he's got 20 hours of his environment that's causing the problem. And how do you cover ground?
Yeah.
And how do you get ahead on that? So, to me, that's where the problem is.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. Shockingly, wow. Me and Tony agree. That's something that doesn't happen very often. Exactly. I can give you a case scenario. I know, given that you're so attached, like I am, to the art of coaching, it's. Please, everyone listening, understand this is a very general term, so we can't pin Tony down to what his system is necessarily. But let me give you a 14-year-old who's a freshman who has, let's just say, limited to no experience in the weight room because, as we all know, when you have an experienced weightlifter who's still a teenager, more often than not, your primary objective is to undo all the crap that's been done in terms of technique and that kind of thing, and over-patterning, et cetera. So we have a reasonably inexperienced lifter here, train, you know, 14 years old, freshman, wants to get a little stronger. Where do you go? So where do we start? Do we do plyos? Do we strength, like skill set development? Where do you go?
You know, the first thing I would do with a kid like that is take him out, throw him in his environment. You know, if he's a football player, I'd give him a football. He's a basketball player, I'd give him a basketball, and I'd throw him out on his in his environment and watch how he moves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn so much by watching an animal in its environment.
Sure.
You know, and what people don't realize is whenever all of a sudden you start structuring that, they're going to be a lot more cognitive of what's going on, and they're going to try to do the right thing.
Right.
And it's going to really skew your perspective of what's going on. So, you know, if you get them in a very comfortable, natural environment and watch them there, you can really start to see a lot of these imbalances, you know. Have the kid run and cut and jump and land and run backwards and hop and skip and do all these different skills and see how they absorb force.
Mm-hmm.
See how they apply force. See what natural tendencies occur. And 9 chances out of 10, you're going to pick up what needs to get worked on in the weight room by watching that.
Sure.
You know, movement mechanics aside, the body is always going to revert back to what's natural. Force is going to go through the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
You know, when a kid is in a reflexive situation where they're not cognitively adjusting and addressing themselves, you're going to see exactly what the body's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Fix it. that's your job, you know. I will guarantee 9 out of 10 kids you're going to see, if it's not been in a mirror, they haven't worked on it in the weight room.
Okay.
You know,
sure.
They're going to work so anterior, and I'm sorry, you know, you really got to really address the posterior chain in these kids.
Yeah. Well, geez, there's something I would agree with wholeheartedly as well.
Sure.
Not
sure.
Surprisingly, yeah.
You know, and even from, let's say a kid comes in and he's a balanced athlete front to back, side to side, you know, posterior chain is where your power is. Posterior chain is where 99% of what makes you a great athlete is going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about force production. Yeah, focus on that. You know, it just makes sense. It's common sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And you know, now let me speak for the trainer who may be a little green. They just maybe new to the industry or not they don't have the educational background plus the expertise that you have regarding your master's, I think, is in biomechanics, and you've been doing this for a long time and are certainly one of the world's best at it. Is it difficult to watch kids, I suppose, for lack of a better term, in free play environments? Is it difficult to pick up? You had mentioned force absorption and force production. You know, what critically are you looking for?
What I look for is more what's happening in the knees. You know, whenever they land, do they go valgus in their knees?
Uh-huh.
You know, when they land, do they always end up on their toes? When they go to cut, do their hips push laterally? You know, can they not maintain control their pelvis when they're moving around?
Sure.
What's their posture whenever they're in a defensive stance? Do they have, you know, is everything pulled forward on them? When they excel, you know, when they cut, do their shoulders whip when they change directions? You know, do they not have enough core strength and stability to maintain a proper posture? You know, those are the type of things I'm looking for.
Sure. Yeah, it makes it a lot easier, yeah. Absolutely. So, do you have anything else? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah, well, for you. okay, so now let's say you've done the assessment, right? Same kid. You bring him to the weight room, or her for that matter. You know, do you have exercises, Tony, that are commonalities? I mean, you're going to try or you're going to produce or teach the skill set of these exercises more likely than not in the initial stage of a trail, like a squat or a front squat or a unilateral leg exercise. Do you have common exercises or part of your basic repertoire that you're going to start with first?
Usually, yeah. You know, I'm born and bred a squatter.
Yeah.
You know, I just think I think squats are one of the best exercises you can do with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, minus spinal injury, obviously. You know, I like to do lots of different types of squatting with people.
Sure.
You know, we do box squatting with, I've got a safety squat bar, a cambered squat bar. You know, we'll use dumbbells, we'll put bands and chains on the bar, we'll free squat them, we'll staggered stance squat. I mean, we don't really fixate on one particular lift, rather as many variations as we can implement.
Sure.
You know, to sidestep a little bit, my theory with strength training is very similar to what many people would do with speed development, or like, let's say, agility. You know, you wouldn't bring a kid in and do the exact same agility drills with them on an agility ladder every day.
Right.
You know, motor learning skill, they're going to adapt and then they're going to regress because it's no longer challenging for them. And I look at weight training as motor skill development in the sense that it takes a certain level of athleticism to do different types of movements.
Right.
And I want them always to develop different types of athleticism. You know, the body is, in essence, a computer. And the more programming you put into a computer, the more efficient it's going to be at solving tasks and the quicker and more efficient it's going to be at doing different things, and the body's the same way.
Yep.
So when we get them in the weight room, there are standards. There's a type of squat. You know, I want them to do some type of squat. I want them to do some type of rotational loading. So we might have them do, I don't do bench presses with my athletes a whole lot, every great once in a while. I would rather have them with their core supporting the load. So we might do a standing cable press.
Uh-huh.
And different variations of that. I like push-ups with kids.
Sure.
You know, I don't just put them on the ground and have them do push-ups on the ground. We'll have them do, you know, push-ups on obstacles and instable push-ups and push-ups in a pike position and push-ups doing this and push-ups doing that and a lot of body weight rowing and pull-ups and, you know, really the general exercises people do but modified. We keep them off machines. That's
yeah.
The big thing.
Yeah. You know, I've always been really enamored with your idea of horizontal loading.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just sort of talk about that just a little bit? Just sort of where you came from it and why is it important? Because I frankly think it's genius and I love it. So I want people to hear it.
Well, you know, once again, I'm a very big advocate of assessing and watching people in their environment. And when you go into an environment, let's say basketball, how many pure vertical forces does an athlete see in basketball?
Tons.
You know, none. You
there
know,
you go.
Gravity is about the only thing that's going to pull them completely vertical. And as soon as you add an instance of momentum, it's no longer a vertical load. You start dealing with a lot more of a horizontal load.
Mm-hmm.
Momentum is huge. You know, whenever you cut, is it gravity that's going to dictate how well you cut, or is it momentum?
I love where you're going with this. This is beautiful.
Absolutely. Whenever you decelerate, you know, you're running and you come to a stop, it's momentum. When 99% of the time when somebody jumps, they're not jumping straight up. They are jumping and turning. They're jumping off of a run. They're jumping off of one foot. There's some sort of rotational or lateral or linear component to it. Whenever they land, they're going to have force vectors that aren't vertical.
So basically pure vertical work is not practical or functional.
It's not necessarily functional. It has its place. You
yeah.
know, I'm not going to say don't do it. It has its place. People fixate on it. Squatting, although I just said it's one of my favorite exercises, you're basically dealing with pure vertical loading. Lunges, there's a lot of pure vertical loading in that. Bench press, you know, pure vertical loading. 99% of what we see trainers doing right now in the weight room, you're dealing specifically with gravity. And it takes the essence of what momentum does to the muscular system completely out of it.
Mm.
You know, and the analogy I always use, if you want to work someone's lateral delt, you don't have them raise the dumbbell in front of their body.
Right.
Why? Because it's a different range of motion. It's going to utilize different muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it? Then why would we say, okay, if we vertically load you in the weight room every time, it's going to work you efficiently in a horizontal lateral plane, which is what we see really dictate sport.
Sure.
You know, the force vectors are different. They're angled different, and they're going to incorporate different muscles into what's going on. So, you know, not that that stuff's not good. It's a big part of what we do. We also tie the body in with doing a lot of horizontal loading.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do that with manual resistance stuff for kids on their feet, or with tubing, or with cables, or, you know, whatever way we could figure out where we start changing the loading through the core.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so simple, but it's so, like, unusual in our industry to think outside the box like that. One of the things I've seen you do, which I love, is when you do some of the unilateral leg, you know, squatting and various things like that, you know, balance touching, but you have your athletes on incline, various degrees of inclines.
Sure.
Is that for the same relative purpose?
Well, you know, I see a lot of kids that come in with just really weak ankles.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how the ankle in relationship to the knee and the foot is whenever you cut, whenever
uh-huh.
you decelerate. It tends to be in more of a closed pack position. It tends to be, you know, not in line exactly with the leg. And body is going to, you know, your body's going to adapt to what you train it to adapt to. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, you know, we do a lot of force application, quick and rapid, with the ankle, you know, the ankle flexed or bent or, you know, in different positions. It's not always just straight under the knee.
Sure.
So to me, that makes sense. And what you'll find is whenever you put somebody on an incline on one foot, all of a sudden, it's going to pull their hips into it different. It's going to pull their, you know, they got to do a lot more pelvic stabilization because that hip's going to want to shoot out to the side.
Right.
Well, what do you think is going to happen whenever somebody is moving laterally and they put that foot out there to cause a break? And what do you think momentum is going to do? It's going to try to shoot that hip out to the side.
Right.
Well, if the body has never been trained to deal with that, why do you think it's going to do it efficiently?
Makes sense.
So, to me, it's one of those things where that is a joint position you see commonly in movement out on the basketball court, soccer field, tennis court, wherever. Why not recreate it in the weight room? You know, try to get the body to implement loading the same way it would out on the court,
right.
or out on the court, or in whatever form they're playing their sport.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, you're such a wealth. I mean, it's just so it's so impactful for me to listen to you talk about strength development because it's coming from so many different angles and. It's clearly you've thought about this for so long and created ideas and philosophies. I just love it. But I promised originally to try and keep these interviews down to 20 or 30 minutes or so on the outside, and I've already taken that. So let me end it there and say that was absolutely phenomenal. I always love hearing you talk about strength development and athletic development in general, but what I hope trainers and coaches get from that is the sheer uniqueness of what Tony does in that it's not perhaps industry standard. But I would defy you to glean the results that Tony Reynolds has gotten over his career with his young athletes because, you know, he's got a long list of very successful athletes he's worked with at all levels of sport, youth up to professional baseball. So, I mean, he just a wealth of information. Tony, thank you so much for sharing that. And I can honestly say literally that although I sincerely believe every single chapter in the IYC textbook is pure gold, I really do. Tony's chapter on flexibility development is worth the price of admission, so to speak. And he did just such an amazing job on that. So, Tony, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
And I appreciate everything.
You bet.
Take care, man.
You too, man.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.